Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Bringing our study of this book to a close. I love that song, Brother Michael. Love that. I also love preaching Revelation 21. Because it is good stuff. I'll just be honest with you. I cannot touch this chapter in doing it justice, but man, the joy, the riches that are here is awesome. Today, we're going to talk about a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious, encouraging, holy word? Verse 1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Let us pray. Brother Guy Whitfield, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. A new heaven and a new earth. I just like the sound of that. What about you? That's what John saw. He saw a new heaven and a new earth, and he descending from the sky. And I guess the first question in my mind is, what happened to the old one? What happened to the old one? The old heaven and the old earth. Well, if you... John says in chapter 21 here that it passed away. Peter goes into a little more detail. If you want to look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up." Now, I want to call your attention to one word there in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, and that's the word elements, where it says the elements shall be burned up. And that word means the most basic principles of something. We would say the foundations of something, okay? For example, there are elements of this earth that we might say, well, let's call the laws of nature. There are certain things that happen, and if those things happen, there's a result. For example, if I throw something up in the air, what's going to happen? It's going to fall down. What goes up must come down, right? You know? There are laws of nature, the basic elements, okay? And what Peter said is these elements shall be destroyed, burned, gone. And John says the word new here in chapter 21. I want you to grasp that word because it's also important. It's not just something new. It's a new kind of something. Okay, does it make sense? A new kind of something. And here it's a new kind of heaven and a new kind of earth. Meaning you've not experienced anything like this before, you know? I like new things, don't you? I like new phones. Isn't the iPhone 4 cool? I don't have one yet. But I like the idea of that lady, Sari, talking to me. Yeah, I've seen it on TV. You tell her something, she answers you, and then she does what you tell her to do. What a novel concept. Man, I'm going to have me one of those iPhone 4s one of these days. I've not had, you know, I have an iPhone. But the iPhone 4 is something new. It's the same kind, but it's new in a different way. Things that I'm not used to, things that I'm not accustomed to, you know. New cars. I saw on TV the other day, they got, I don't remember which car it was, but I remember it, they called it Park Assist. A car that'll park itself? Are you serious? In driver's ed, they made us do the parallel parking. But that'd be a new kind of car. Something that I've not experienced before. I remember the days of the TV, you know, like a 25-inch TV was big. Now they got 70-inch monsters hooked up to the internet so you can just order a movie at, you know, at the push of a button. New things. Well, I want you to, you know, it's kind of that concept, okay? When we talk about a new heaven and a new earth, we're talking about something that you have not experienced before. So as we begin this study, I want you to understand, don't try to put the laws that you're aware of in your current life, don't try to apply it in the new heaven and new earth, because it won't work. Okay? It is going to be completely new, completely different. 2 Peter 3:13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness." And here's a new thing. Wherein dwells righteousness. You know what righteousness means? Means right. Can you imagine everything being right all the time? What are we going to complain about? I mean, some of us may have a little trouble with that. Nobody will ever ask you again, what's wrong? You know? I could just imagine you walk up to somebody in the new heaven and new earth. What's wrong? And they, well, nothing. Because there is nothing. Everything's right. Everything's based upon God and His righteousness. It's going to be a new way of living. John saw this holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. And I believe it's the city that Jesus talked about in John 14, where He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I believe He's done, and He's bringing it down to us at this point in Revelation chapter 21. We read here, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Imagine that. That word tabernacle means dwelling, or it means to spread your tent over. Do you realize in this new heaven, we are literally going to live with God? I like to chew on that a while, but I can't fully imagine what that's going to be like. Being continually in His presence. And we know today, I mean, God is everywhere, and we have the promise of God's Word that His Holy Spirit lives within us. But I'm talking about living with God, okay? Being aware of His continual presence. He says that He will dwell with us, and we shall be His people, sharing an undying loyalty that He's going to have for us. And He shall be our God. The undying loyalty we will have for Him. Oh, do you realize in this new heaven and new earth, there won't be any decision to make as to whether we're going to serve the Lord or not. There won't be any decision to make as to whether we're going to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. There won't be any decision as to whether we're going to witness. Everything is going to be pointed toward Him. And it says in verse 4 that God, grab this, God will wipe away every tear. You'll never cry again. How many, do you enjoy a good cry? I really don't. I've heard people talk about enjoying a good cry. But if I'm crying, I'm sad. I'm hurting on the inside, you know? And here he's talking about taking away every badness, everything that would cause a tear to come to our eye. And as a matter of fact, when he says he shall wipe away every tear, it literally means to erase. He'll erase every tear so that there will never be a need to cry again. There will be no death. What happens to death? Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Guess what? There'll be no sin, so nobody's going to die. You know what people die from, don't you? They die from sin. Okay? That's where the world was corrupted. There will be no death, no infant death, no abortions, no teens killed in a car wreck. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no AIDS. There'll be no Alzheimer's. There'll be no death. I won't meet Michael today and have to say, Lord willing, I'll see you later, because I will see him later, because neither one of us will ever die. Isn't that awesome? I mean, living forever. And what really seems attractive from that viewpoint is that we're going to feel good the whole time. You know? I mean, I've watched as people age, and I think I began to understand just a little glimpse. They get on up in years, and they come to that point where they just say, Brother Doug, I'm ready to go home. This old body hurts. This old body aches. And, you know, I'm just ready to go home. And I'm beginning to understand their mentality. But can you imagine being a billion years old and feeling good? Man. No sorrow. No crying. No hurt feelings. No families that are torn by divorce. No children who are allured by the sin of the world. You won't have to worry about what the choices your teenagers are making. There will be no sin, no pain, no suffering, no arthritis, no cancer, no flu, no anxiety, no hospitals. There will only be good news. Can you imagine? Do you realize we're going to be in a permanent good mood? That's going to be new, isn't it? A permanent good mood. You never wake up on the wrong side of the bed because you won't have to sleep. You'll never have that emotion of being upset, bothered for no reason again. Why is this so attractive? You know, it is just so very attractive, because when we look at this life, I mean, don't get me wrong, I thank God for the blessings of this life, but if this life is all there is, we're of all men most miserable. Okay? I mean, you think about it. I get frustrated and irritated and beat up and beat down. I'm not the man I want to be. I'm not the husband and the father I would like to be. I never measure up. I'm not the pastor that I would like to be. I'm not the preacher that I would strive to be. I never quite accomplish to the fullest extent where I want to go. But in heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, I'm going to be all I can be. And you, as a child of God, will also. And I love the concrete way that Jesus shares with him in this. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He says, it is done. He gives you this long list of the no mores and the no more pain, suffering, and tears. And then he says, I love that, in verse 6, he said to me, it is done. He just put his stamp of approval on it, as though it's already happened. Do you realize heaven is not a fairy tale? Heaven is real. If you could talk to any of your loved ones that have left this life who were a child of God, you know what they'd tell you? They'd tell you it's real. They'd tell you Jesus is here. They'd tell you there is no pain, no suffering, no sorrow. They'd tell you Jesus has prepared. They'd tell you what a marvelous place being in the presence of Jesus is. But they'd most definitely tell you, you don't have to doubt because it is real. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, it is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. That's the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. God says, I was here before anything started. I'll be here long after this earth has passed away. And you can take this to the bank. This is how it's going to be. Do you ever think about heaven? Friends, it's real. There's a question you got to ask. Who's going? Who's going? Tonight we're going to talk a little more about the fountain of the water of life that he's going to give freely. We're going to save that for tonight. But I do want to call your attention to verse 7 this morning. Let's decide who's going to heaven and who's not. Okay? And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. Because verse 7 tells you, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Look at that. I love the way he put that. He will be my son. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? You think you're the sweetest family moment that you ever had. And it won't compare to the family environment that's going to be in this new heaven and this new earth. Okay? But I call your attention to he who overcomes. Are you an overcomer? Well, what is an overcomer? Here it is. You know, there's some that take that and say, well, this is talking about your works and you got to earn your way. No, okay. An overcomer or to overcome means to be victorious and to prevail. Okay. So, we could insert in there the same word, he who is victorious or prevails shall inherit all things. Well, we've got to figure out who the overcomer is or who the victorious are. Here it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You might make a note of this, but I'll read it to you. But save this because there will be some that'll point their finger later, you know, sometime down the road, and they say, look, You gotta be an overcomer. You gotta earn it. No, nope. Here it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 interprets the scripture. I love when scriptures interpret scripture. Okay? 5:4, 1 John. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to know who the overcomers are? The overcomers are not the one that's worked all their life and you know, got this big long list of good deeds. The overcomers are the one who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who died for their sins, who rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God today. The overcomers are the ones who have committed their lives to Christ because of what Christ done, not because of what you done. You want to be an overcomer? Give your heart to Jesus. Because that's the victory. Our faith. Our faith is the victory. Are you a child of God? Let me tell you something. If you're not a child of God, you're not going. Now that's not politically correct. I understand that the world today, all religion is the same and we're all serving the same God and blah, blah, blah. And that's baloney. Okay? It does matter what you believe. It does matter what God you serve. There is one way to heaven and that is Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. If you didn't gain your salvation through Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You'll never see this new heaven and new earth. Who will not be there? Well, it gives a list. The cowardly. That word cowardly means a shameful fear or a worthlessness. Kind of presenting someone who just wasted their life, who refused to make a commitment to Christ. Those who, well, one of these days, maybe, but one of these days never came. The cowardly, the unbelievers, do you realize there are not going to be any atheists in heaven? I think that's so cool. I look at some of our colleges today, and I'm all about education. But sometimes it amazes me the stupidity that dwells in some of the professors. And I say that in Christian love. I really do. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But if you can't look outside and see that there is a creator to this wonderful earth, you are as blind as a bat. There be no unbelievers in this new heaven, this new earth. There be no abominable, which is foul, detestable. You know, have you ever, you know, seen people just do foul and filthy things? That's what this is talking about. There be no murderers, no sexually immoral, no sorcerers. There will be no palm readers in heaven. Amen. Okay, don't mess with that. That is a world of darkness you don't even want to play with. Okay? Stay away from it. The horoscopes in the paper. I've heard people say, well, I just read them for fun. Throw them away. Okay? If you're a child of God, you have a God that's in control of everything, not the stars. Okay? Sorcerers won't be there. Idolaters, there will be no false gods. There will be no liars, deceitfulness, those who would lead away from the truth. What's going to happen to those people? Well, these shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many times are you going to die? The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die. So we've all got that one. But you're after that one, there's going to be a judgment. A judgment. There's actually two judgments. One judgment is going to be the judgment seat of Christ, where the saved will stand and give account of their life and receive their rewards. That's the good judgment. Then there's the judgment seat of Christ, where the lost will stand. And I can promise you this. If you end up standing before the great white throne judgment, that's the judgment of the saved. Did I confuse that a while ago? I'm sorry. Judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of the saved. Great white throne judgment, the judgment of the lost. Okay? If you stand before the great white throne judgment, you better heed the words of Revelation 21 and verse 8 that we read just moments ago. Here's what's going to happen to you. You shall have your part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, we can talk about heaven and what a glorious time it's going to be. And it's going to be good, friends. It's going to be good. You think about the times of no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no sickness. I'm all about that. But we also got to deal with the reality that not everybody's going. Because there are some who have never committed their life to Christ. You will leave the great white throne judgment and spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God and His glory and His goodness. But the good news is you don't have to. Because we're told in the Bible that Jesus Christ gave His life for the sin of you and for me. And we're told that if we will call upon Jesus, call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. That today you can place your faith and your trust in the Lord by simple prayer. And my friends, you'll know the joy of the heaven that Jesus is preparing for you. Are you a child of God? If not, today's the day. If you are, I want to remind all of us, you know, it's our job to take as many to heaven with us as we can. Amen? Next week, we're going to start a great new ministry, a great new study about discipleship, about reaching our community. Be in prayer about that. But you know, that's going to be about reaching people. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. The choice is yours. We're going to have an invitation. If you need to be saved, I'd invite you to come. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and the blessing of your word. Thank you, Lord, for that new heaven and that new earth that you've prepared for your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And now I just pray for those in this service who have never made a commitment to you, who have never accepted you as their Savior. I pray that today will be the day that, Lord, they'll call upon you, that they'll make that profession public by coming forward in this invitation. And I pray for those of us who are already saved, help us to have a burden for the lost, a desire to see lost people saved, so much so that it moves us so that we'll be a witness for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.